It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny live all over D.C. on 106.7 and in Richmond on 105.1 and AM 910. Watch us, 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream all day, every day. And you can listen to us wherever you go on the Odyssey app, always free. The exclusive sponsor of this show is the law firm Kondorian Murrah. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction. They're going to help you to set up a trust, create a power of attorney, or get you a will. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Mention us to get a discount, kmlawyers.com. Every single Wednesday throughout the football season, right now at 5 o'clock, we will get you the latest on the NFC East. So let's do this thing. We will start with the team that was by far the most impressive of anybody in the division.
Dominant.
And that is Dallas, who whooped up on the Cleveland Browns 33-17. After Dak Prescott got paid. RJ Choppy is with us, who's on our sister station in the mornings in Dallas. RJ, I guess let's just start with that contract, actually. It came down the morning of kickoff in week one. Was that surprising? Did you guys think they were nearing the finish line?
We got conflicting reports all week, right? We kept hearing, well, it's going to happen before, and then we heard others saying, nah, it's not going to happen. As it got closer, we started to hear that it was like, all right, we kind of don't think it's getting really, really close. They're not going to do it. And then I got a text on Sunday morning from one of the Cowboys, big suite holders and everything. And they said that they had seen some higher-ups that weekend, and they got the impression that it was going to happen. So, it definitely caught us by surprise that it happened that morning.
Want to get to Dak here in a second, RJ, but one of the talking points I remember coming out of Dallas after Dan Quinn and Joe Witt left was, well, what's going to happen to the defense through 1 week? Not much. That group looked awesome on Sunday. What are your thoughts?
You know, we're trying to figure out if it was the defense or Deshaun Watson just doesn't know how to play football anymore.
Yeah.
That's a major part of it, because you know, he reminded me of a backup quarterback, a third string quarterback. Like, you ever know when a backup comes in, the first thing they do is not throw the football, it's leave the pocket. And that was the first thing he did. It's like he just forgot the progressions, he forgot what he was doing. And that's the one hesitation that I have about this weekend's game and the performances. Were they playing the Browns with Deshaun? Like, did they make Deshaun look bad and them look bad? Or was it Deshaun Watson that made the Browns look bad and the defense look great? That's the only hang-up I have after this first week.
But to kind of drill down on Danny's point, you can imagine why we're curious with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt here, that they're supposedly these big defensive whisperers. And I'm watching now, and it's all the shouty shows one day after, but they're going, man, Mike Zimmer did some things we haven't seen. Look at this double-A mug in the A-gap, and Dan Quinn's never this aggressive. And maybe, the players made Dan Quinn better, but Mike Zimmer's going to be the man, and I'm going, oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Well, I mean, Dan Quinn mugged the A-gap a lot, too, when he was – I mean, Micah did that his first year, second year. He did that quite a bit. So they definitely had that, but – you know, the defense said, look, they did some unique things. It's a different style. You know, Dan's defense was more aggressive in the secondary, and Zimmer's defense maybe a little bit more aggressive with the front and how they do things. So it's different. I mean, Dan's a good defensive coordinator, really, really good. As a head coach, I don't know. You know, the people in Atlanta called him Sergeant Slogan when he was the head coach there. I don't know how he is as a head coach, because, I didn't cover him as one. But, I mean, he's a hell of a defensive mind.
Sergeant Slogan is a 10. I haven't heard that. The one my buddy, I have
great.
A buddy in Atlanta that does radio there, and he always texts me and he goes, how's Coach Bro doing? Because, he's just got the,
right.
the backwards hat, and he's one of the guys. But Sergeant Slogan's pretty funny.
Looking at
well,
this,
Coach Bro, is it Coach Bro Kingsbury?
That's the staff right now.
A couple of those, actually.
Yeah, he's dude bro. No, he knows a cool way to open six beers at once with his elbow or something. The offense, you guys didn't have to do very much, Dallas did, in week number one. We didn't really get to see the full gauntlet, but what did you make of it through 1 week?
Honestly, I thought the running game was a little bit better than I expected it was going to be. Zeke looked spry for a late 20s running back. You know, they didn't offer up much of the second half. I don't know if they were trying new things or if Cleveland started to do some stuff. The Cowboys' second half offense was not great. You know, but then they get a special teams touchdown from Turpin. Lamb missed almost all of training camp. You saw Ayuk in their game with San Fran. He didn't have the greatest game. Lamb did not have the greatest game. And I think that, you know, a lot of that is the missing of camp. They'll be fine. It's a good offense. They are breaking in two rookies on the offensive line. That's something to keep an eye on. And that was definitely a fear with Myles Garrett. But he did not have like an electric type game. You know, Micah had a better game than he did.
Saints on Sunday at 1. I wouldn't have said this before week 1, but I'm excited for that to see what New Orleans really is. That was two of the more impressive teams in the first weekend.
It really is, and that's just kind of the similar situation. You know, how much of it was New Orleans versus Carolina's just that bad? I don't know. I mean, I like Derek Carr, but Derek Carr, I know what he is. He's a bottom. He's a, you know, 16-22 ranked quarterback in the NFL, right? So you're going to be you'll get a consistent, halfway decent quarterback who isn't going to put up 47 points probably again the rest of the year.
RJ, thank you as always, buddy. Be well.
You too, guys. Have a good one.
We'll see you, man. Hit that Eagles sounder, Darius. John McMullen covers the Eagles as the Eagles insider for SI. John, it was a while ago. It seems like a month ago they played on Friday night, but everybody's back safe and sound. What's the big takeaway here from Eagles week one win?
Yeah, well, I think the big takeaway is they got the win against another potential NFC contender. So if you look down the road, yeah, we'll see how long Jordan Love is out, but if the Packers could have been relevant and they could have stole that game that is technically a home game from Philadelphia, might have been trouble. Very sloppy game, poor field conditions, as everyone saw. So I'm not sure how much you can take out of it from an evaluation standpoint, but they got the win. And 4-0 under Nick Sirianni in season openers, so they seem to find a way to win those week one games. A lot of sloppy play, though, especially from Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and that's where I want to go, John. Am I off base? I tweeted something after the game to the effect of, if I was an Eagles fan, you survive, you advance, you get a win, that's all that matters, right? But that would not feel good. I mean, to me, coming into the season, my entire outlook on Philly is, does Jalen Hurts bounce back to 2 years ago? Because I thought he was incredible, top five, 2 years ago. And I thought he stunk for a lot of last year. And the two interceptions that he threw in this game were awful. I mean, if Jaden Daniels threw them this past weekend as a debuting rookie, they would have been gross. Like, they were as bad as you can throw.
Yeah, they were. And really, there were four turnover-worthy throws. The play before the interception in the end zone should have been a pick six. And Tayshaun Nixon couldn't come up with it. There was another play where Jair Alexander would have had an interception unless A.J. Brown turned into a defensive back, and he was able to do that and keep that from going the other way. I tweeted out PFF, Pro Football Focus, graded Jalen Hurts as the number 32 out of 32 quarterbacks. And there was some bad quarterback play this weekend. And they rated him dead last because of all those turnover-worthy throws. And it was his worst, according to them, his worst game as a starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. So a lot of Eagles fans got very upset when I tweeted that out. It's not my film grade. It's their film grade. And I don't necessarily agree with it because at least Jalen Hurts was able to make some positive plays and some of these other quarterbacks were not. But you shouldn't jump on the sword. He played poorly, very poorly. And if that continues, the success will not continue.
So, John, I know that's not a region of the world known for its overwhelming positivity, but if I were an Eagles fan, I would go, as sloppy as that was, as weird as all that was, we scored 34 points against a playoff team. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's still a lot to build on there. And most specifically, I imagine a couple folks would like to send flower bouquets or baskets to John Mara and Joe Shane.
Yeah, they do. And Saquon, you know, I think it's one of those situations where, you know, it's not a vacuum. And to me, Saquon's a very good fit for the Eagles because they have all these other playmakers. They can take advantage of it. And that doesn't mean he would have been a good fit for the New York Giants. But while I say that, the natural thing to do is look, Saquon has 3 touchdowns. They score 6 points. I don't think Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are going to survive that. But he's a great fit for Philadelphia. Does not mean he would have been a great fit for the New York Giants. They've already been trying that for 6 years. The Eagles have the ready-made playmakers. His wheel route touchdown, perfect example to that. They ran 2 in-breaking routes from A.J. Brown. Devontae Smith sort of mirrored that, took half of the back 7 away from the wheel route. And it was one-on-one, Saquon Barkley with a linebacker. That's something the Eagles can do, can accomplish with Kellen Moore. New York Giants couldn't do that, building their foundation on Saquon Barkley.
Monday Night Football's next up for Philly. They're at home. First time this season, technically, I guess, home game 2. Hosting the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta, as you know, got off to a really ugly start. Kirk Cousins looked like he wasn't using that back foot. They weren't having him drop back from under center coming off the Achilles. What's the outlook for the Eagles in this matchup, do you think?
Yeah, I'm very interested to see if the Eagles can get the pass rush going. That's one of those things. Green Bay as well, and the awful field conditions and Sao Paulo. Nobody could get off their footing. Nobody could rush the passer with any consistency on both teams. So I want to see the Eagles if they can get that going. As you mentioned, Kirk Cousins clearly not healthy. I think, you know, he tore that ACL late October last year. So they didn't even put him in a lot of play action situations. That's what Kirk Cousins does. So I'm not sure what Atlanta's plan is, but obviously him and the pistols, not a good idea. But the Eagles got to show they can rush the passer without Hassan Reddick. I give him kind of a mulligan again because of those field conditions, but they got to start proving it against what's going to be a stationary target in Kirk Cousins.
John, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
Thanks, guys.
See you, my friend. Hit that Giant sounder. Our guy, Chris Bisignano, the Giant Insider, at Giant Insider on the old Twitterverse. Chris, I feel like it's that Spider-Man meme where the Giants and Washington are pointing at each other for who's going to finish bottom of the division after week 1. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm not going to argue that after week 1, right? That's what it seems like earlier, but it's early. You know, we'll see. But, yeah, look, both teams, not a good start. Really ugly here in New York with the Giants, you know, the 100-year anniversary. The legends in the building and all that, and then the Giants come out and lay an egg. So really ugly around here. I know Washington, things didn't go their way over there in Tampa, so an interesting matchup Sunday.
How bad was the Daniel Jones outing, and how early is it to start talking about his job security?
Well, I don't think it's early at all. How bad was it? Well, it was pretty bad. Sunday. He missed throws, 2 bad interceptions, 1 pick 6 by Andrew Van Ginkle that he sniffed out all the way on that play. So, look, he didn't get the team in the end zone. It was not pretty, no question about it. And I tell you, man, if he comes out and he looks really bad in the first half of Washington or maybe the early second half, whatever it might be, I think you could see Drew Lock this week. I really do. I don't think Dable's going to wait around much longer because it was not pretty last week. And, you know, you don't want to stay too long because then you start looking like you're incompetent as a head coach, keeping a guy in the game that just is totally and completely mentally shot right now. So, no, I don't think it's too early to start talking about that.
Chris, how was the defense in week 1? This is my biggest area of concern over the last, 12 matchups where the Giants have just dominated you know, this rivalry here. Defensively, I'm especially worried about pass rush, but how did that defense grade out in week one to you?
Just okay. Not bad. Not great. They didn't get to the quarterback, and obviously that's, you know, why they went out and drafted, traded for Brian Burns. Mm-hmm. So look, they have to improve in that. It's, for some reason, it's like whenever guys like Thibodeau and other guys see those Redskins, see those Commander uniforms, you know, they seem to elevate their game. Like Thibodeau's best games of his career have been against Washington. It's a new system too. We got to keep that in mind. Shane Bowen is not nearly as aggressive as Wink Martindale was. Some guys getting used to that, a lot more zone. They were not good against the run the last 2 years. They were pretty good in the first half. Then Aaron Jones started getting them a little bit in the fourth quarter. So I would grade out like in the middle of the pack, like a C-type grade I would give them. And they're hoping to improve on that this week.
Where are they weakest and most susceptible just generally? Like if Washington ends up looking great and winning going away, how'd they take advantage of that?
Oh, on the back end, fellas. The Giants secondary is that's their weak spot. No question about it. Gave up 2 touchdowns last week. It was a huge question mark going into training camp, and it's still a huge question mark. That's their weak spot, no question about it.
What about when the Giants have the ball?
What's their weak spot when they have the ball?
Yeah.
Daniel Jones. Right now. Look, it's a revamped offensive line that had some issues up front a little bit, but they didn't play that bad last week. Not great. You know, not very good, I should say. Not bad either. There was times Daniel had time in the pocket, and, you know, he just didn't execute. But you look at this, you know, offensive line, and I think it will get better as we move along, as they play, because they really didn't play together at all summer. It was injuries. The receiver room is the strength of the offense, and, you know, they couldn't really do anything last week. But right now, you're asking me, all right, Chris, like you said, you know, what do you think's the week? Well, right now, it's number 8, Daniel Jones.
What's been your impression of Malik Nabers so far? One of our favorite guys in the draft.
Oh, he's been dynamic from day one. You know, he's got to learn some things, no question about it. But the kid is dynamic, man. He's special. He is, guys. He really is. But you know, you're going to have to get him the ball. He's going to have to learn a lot of things. Like Brian Flores really fooled the Giants last week. He came out and played a lot of soft shell on them, and they were expecting those heavy blitzes that Brian is known for. So Malik, at times, has got to recognize, you know, this is a recognized defense. Dable wants to see what the D's doing and then run, you know, and react to what they're doing. Malik, at times, has some problems with that. He's going to learn, but physical-wise, I mean, he goes up, he gets it, contested catches. He's dynamic on the 9 routes, the verticals, and all that stuff. And he should be a special one, but of course we also need a guy that could get in the damn ball too, so we'll see.
We appreciate the insight on the Giants as always. Thank you so much.
All right, fellas. Good luck on Sunday. We'll talk soon.
See you, bud.
Thank you. Same to you. That's Chris Bisignano, the Giants insider with us on Grant and Danny. I've got a thought on a big NFL storyline from the weekend that I think is unpopular. And I actually want to just bounce it off you, Danny, and see where you're at. Normally, I got a pretty good beat on how you're going to go, and it's 50-50 for me.
Ooh, I like it.
If you'd agree with me or disagree with me, and I know
mystery.
I'm in the minority, I think, among the masses. Let's get to that next on G&D.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Thanks much for listening to the show. Welcome back. We'll take you up to 6:15, and that's pregame tonight. We were just talking as we spanned the division there, tackled the East, about the Giants and the struggles of Daniel Jones, who was awful. I don't care if it's Daniel Jones, Jaden Daniels, or anybody else. It has nothing to do with the person in question here. But I think I have an unpopular opinion. I want to see where Danny's at on this. So did you see the video of Daniel Jones leaving the locker room and walking out to his car via what is like a roped-off area for players to exit MetLife Stadium?
I had not seen that, no.
Okay. So he's leaving MetLife Stadium, and he gets hassled by a bunch of Giants fans.
Mm-hmm.
They are screaming and booing and yelling that they want their millions. And the video that I've got here is not necessarily the worst of it from some of the other clips that have come out where people are like yelling at him and screaming and booing and telling him to go home and all this stuff. But this will be a little sample of it.
Yeah! Hey! I need a million! I need a million! I need a million, Daniel! I need a mil, Danny! I need a mil! Give me a... You suck!
So, he's walking out, he's like fresh out of the shower, he's got his little duffel bag, whatever, and he's got to walk in this kind of area where you can lean over railings to sign autographs or some kids with some footballs or whatever, going to his car. And I tweeted out that video, and I did my version of this ain't it, okay? Which is to say, I think this is ridiculous. Now, I am all for people doing whatever they want with the money that they spend in the stadium. I've never been a boo guy. I'll never boo my own guys. It's just, I think it's childish and ridiculous. I think if you're a grown-up booing, it's weird, but that's my own thing. I'm not telling you how to do your thing. You do your thing. So if you want to boo Daniel Jones and say you suck, and when he comes to the sideline, scream at him that he's a loser and he'll never be good in the middle of the game at the stadium, fine. When you're now, the game's ended, you're outside the stadium, and you see him walking to his car, to me, it's no longer time to do the screaming, you know, you're the worst, go home, all this other stuff. It's the equivalent to me. We're now in public. A couple people said, well, you're still on the property. I think our buddy Guilo was like, it's team property. It's not like it's a grocery store. I view it a lot more like a grocery store, actually, if I'm drawing the line there, where the game is the game. The stadium's the stadium. He's in uniform. He's got his helmet on. Boo him. Say whatever you want. He's football robot guy. You get to yell. You get to hassle. Again, not my style, but we see it everywhere. And visiting players, home players, yelling things. Some players take it better than others, obviously. But no harm, no foul, I don't think, in the kind of in the battle, so to speak. Outside of that is a whole different ballgame. I'm reminded of a Dave Chappelle anecdote from one of his great comedy sketches and sets on Netflix. And I don't remember if it was Sticks and Stones or which one it was. But Chappelle, who I love, told this long story about how he was at a mall. And he keeps turning around and there's a woman behind him. And he's like waiting for her to come up and he can tell she's like 10, 12 feet following him. He's in this store. She's there. He's in the next store. She's there. He's now into the parking lot. And he said, I'm finally getting into my car and she's still about 15 feet away and she's following me, looking at me. And he says, I put my bags in my car and I finally look up at her and I go, yes, can I help you? And she starts complaining how much she hates one of his jokes and how dare you. I know who you are, David Chappelle. You know, and you said this and it's terrible, whatever. And he said to her, and I won't use the curse word that he uses, but keep it in the comments. This is real life. And I think that's so correct. And it is totally relatable here to me. If you see Daniel Jones at a grocery store or at church or, you know, walking his dog or whatever, to go up and tell him, hey, man, you suck. That's a grow up moment for me. You know what I mean? That's a little bit of a get a job moment there as far as I'm concerned. I don't know. Where are you at on this? Because I seem to be in the minority. A lot of people essentially were like, absolutely, there's nothing wrong with this. Fans should yell whatever they want at Daniel Jones. He was a terrible player and played a terrible game.
Yeah, in public. So to me, at the stadium is not in public. I guess that's where we'll disagree. Like if he's eating dinner, if he's, you know, hanging out with his kid at the playground or, you know, going to the grocery store and you come up to him and scream at him, you're an idiot. You're a jackass. You know what I mean? Like,
so you agree with me, but disagree that walking in the parking lot after the game is public.
Yeah, that's still the place where I paid for my ticket. I'm not just at the parking lot because I'm at the parking lot. Like, I've paid. I'm here. This is the sports venue still to me. So Again, I think it's a little bit weird to do that, but I don't begrudge somebody at all. Like, if Daniel Jones would not like any of the treatment or any of the people paying attention to him, don't take the contract. Go live in the Adirondacks. You know, like, to me, it's not necessarily the best thing, but it's part and parcel with, you want to be an NFL quarterback and make $40 million a year. There's going to be some negative if you don't perform well.
Totally. And I think he knows that probably as well as most and deals with it. These quarterbacks get called all kinds of names and said terrible things are said about them. And he's not complaining about it. You know, if anything, I think he handles it well.
He answers all the questions
and, you know, whatever else. I'm bringing it up just because it's something, you know, while I don't think he took any issue with it, it seems weird to me. But it sounds like you then agree with me that people, if they see him out and about, should not act this way. You're saying walking out of the stadium to his car is not a bridge too far for you.
Right, 100%. So again, it's the, like, you saw this for a while where it was like, it was okay for people like living their lives, minding their business because they have a policy that I don't like or something. I get to scream at you in public and ruin your time. Wrong. That's ridiculous to me.
Okay.
So like, that's a decorum thing, right? Like, away from the venue, from the place where you don't like what this person's doing, please stop running up to people and throwing paint on them and ruining their time. So, but at the sports venue, to me,
the venue is in the stadium to me. The venue is where the game is played, where he's wearing his uniform. He's at work. He's now Mr. New York Giant quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever the hell you want. If he's walking out of the stadium in the third quarter still in his helmet and pads and you want to follow him to his car, maybe I'll write you a waiver for that too. But the game is now over. Like, to me, the equivalent is if we're sitting at a remote and someone comes up to us, and this happens all the time, by the way.
Sure.
And we're sitting there and someone comes up and goes, you guys talk too much about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Very weird. Like, what do I do now? You know, and I'm like, oh, well, okay, I appreciate the feedback or whatever. And, you know, normal people with normal social graces will, like, say, this is awkward. I'm going to say bye now. But sometimes people will keep going and, like, yeah, why do you guys do that?
And you know, like, what you should talk about?
Yeah, or whatever. It's, like, all part of it.
Sure.
I understand.
Yeah.
But if we're sitting there on the air and we're at the event or whatever, but when someone, and this has happened too, I'm going to my car and, like, comes up to me and starts badgering me about, dude, why did you say that about this? Like, what was the point of that? And I'm going to be friendly. Just the choice that I've made is we need listeners to want to listen to us, and I'm a people pleaser anyway, so I'm going to sit there and kind of wear it and try to be amicable. But, like, that happens too, and I always say that, think that's really, really weird. Or, like, occasionally, most of the time you could tell if someone doesn't like you because they're like, hey, are you Grant Paulson? Are you Danny or whatever? And I'm like, yeah. And then they don't say anything.
Mm.
Or they just go,
I thought so.
Like, oh, okay. And it's like, okay, that guy probably isn't a big fan. That's fine. But every now and then I'm in a movie theater or whatever, and someone's like, hey, man, you guys drive me crazy. And I'm like, okay. Thanks for listening, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But like, my point is, like, to me, he's not, when he's out of the stadium, it's over.
Mm.
You're yelling, you're screaming, you're sitting in the stadium? Yes. Out of the stadium? We're adults now. Like, what if, I guess you'd feel the same way, and he shouldn't do this, and he doesn't, because he's not an idiot. But, like, what if he's got his kids with him? He's holding two kids, he's got Truman and Reagan in his hands, and he's, like, walking to his car. You feel the same exact way? Everyone berating him?
If it's at the stadium, it's much closer to being okay to me. I mean, again, I wouldn't approve of it. I would tell someone doing that, like, dude, he's got his kids. Like, relax with that. But, like, if I'm leaving Nats Park and I'm just past the center field gate, the instant I pass through this threshold, it's not some sort of magical cone of silence. You know what I mean? Like, we're in stadium. We're doing stadium stuff.
That's a good example. Most of the Nats live in the Navy Yard. So you're booing Jesse Winker after his big strikeout in the eighth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go over to Walters, and now you're walking back to your car, and you see him right out by center field gate walking to his place in Coda. And you're 10 feet from center field gate. Where are we at on the gray area?
It's closer. Yeah, but it's gray. It's not like there's no hard line to me. It's like if my evening is still I'm at the stadium or stadium extended grounds, like if I'm in parking lot C for some reason and a player's there, again, I'm not doing this, but I understand that, like, I've left my home. I'm at the destination. I'm at a different part of the destination. Like, if I'm hanging up by the players' parking lot, you know, on the south side of Nats Park, again, don't do this. This is creepy and weird. But if you're doing that and somebody Buckner'd a ball that cost you your day or the pennant or something, and you want to boo the guy, I understand that, even though it's not in the stadium anymore. It's not the game isn't still going on.
My guess is if you're doing that, you're drunk probably.
Yeah.
And if you're not, you're you know, it's just you're not for me very much. You know, to
which
me.
I guess, well, that's you and I are like, in agreement there. It's like no one that I know is doing that. I'm not doing that. Right,
totally.
But
fanatics do things, and a lot of them are diehard fans and are, you know, people that listen to us. I'd actually be curious to get thoughts on this. 800-636-1067. Like you said, it's a gray area. For me, there's zero gray area. When the game ends and you walk out of that stadium, if you see a guy like now a human being, football player, the lights, it's a switch.
Mm-hmm. Right,
he's not in his uniform. The game ended. Now he's a human being. Now, again, do whatever you want. If you want to treat a human being poorly and yell at him and curse at him and tell him he sucks, you're allowed to do that. I just stop being okay with it right. when he's not in his uniform on the field or you know, in the area where he's performing for you. You bought a ticket because he's performing for you. I'm on stage. You want to heckle. You want to boo, whatever. You see me outside on the street. That part, I'd say the heckling part ended. 800-636-1067. I'm actually really curious to touch the people on this, see what you guys think. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan, 800-636-1067 to hop in. You can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. We're on Instagram with those same handles. The question for you is, so Daniel Jones is leaving the game on Sunday. He's walking out. He showered up. He's got his duffel bag. He is on his way from the stadium to his car in the parking lot outside of the stadium. And there's a video. We can play a little snippet here again. Of fans harassing him and yelling at him and screaming at him and booing him and telling him he's terrible and they want his money and, you know, you're the worst. And all of those things, an hour before that, were perfectly on board as far as I'm concerned, as he was playing terrible and they'd paid a lot of money to be at a game. Not my style, I'd never do it, but very commonplace and, you know, time and place, as I always say, right? At a game, in your seat, he's on the field, no problem. To me, when he's walking to his car in the parking lot, that time is over. We are now in public. I got drunk in a bar. You threw me into public. We're in public. Danny said, no, this is fine. A lot of people feel like this is fine. I'm not on team. This is fine. Where are you guys at?
Yeah! Danny! I need a million! I need a million! I need a million, Daniel! I need a mil, Danny! I need a mil! Give me a... You suck!
And I can't stress enough. I mean, these people are like 3 feet from him. Like, it's not like they're 100 yards away. I mean, it's just like they could reach out and grab him while they're yelling this at him. I quote ancient philosopher Dave Chappelle. Keep it in the comments. This real life. You want to tweet me and call me all the names? Do it. In life, it's real life, man. Like, it seems strange. Let's go to Shane in Oxon Hill. What's up, Shane? How are you? Shane, you there?
I heard us on the radio. We sounded good.
All right. Well, I'm going to put him on hold.
Good opening there.
Let's go to Juan in Woodbridge. What's up, Juan?
Hey, Juan.
What's up, Danny? How you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
I just wanted to say, first of all, whomever talks to you guys in a stupid way, they're a bunch of idiots. Because you guys make my day. I love listening to you guys.
Oh, no. Anyhow, we appreciate you.
And we were fishing for compliments there, I thought.
But I do want to say, like, I have no problem. People should tell us what they think of the show. That's all part of it. I'm just saying, occasionally
you
you'll get people that
public,
make it
you
weird.
You guys are in public. You guys should, you know, no one should ever, you know, no one should walk up to you and tell you, hey, you guys are this, that, and the other. The only thing they should be able to say is thank you. That's it. Anyhow, as far as, like, doing what, you know, hackling these guys, nah, they shouldn't be doing that, man. It's, these guys are humans. They don't deserve anything like that. I get that, you know, he's taking money, but I think that if you were in that position, you guys would have taken the money too. Even if guys weren't a great quarterback, you guys would have taken the money.
Yeah, let me be a terrible quarterback. I'll sign up right now.
Well, let's also forget they paid him for a reason.
Yeah.
2 years ago, he played really well with no weapons around him. and lit it up in a playoff win. I mean, it's not like the guy's never played well. Now, that's not really the point, but I will say all of those fans at points during that season were clapping like seals for the guy. And while maybe a lot of them didn't want to pay him, which is perfectly reasonable, I guarantee they were pretty thrilled when he dominated the Vikings defense on the road in a playoff game. Let's go to Sed in Manassas. What's up, Sed?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love your show.
Appreciate you, dude.
I'm not going to pucker up, but anyway. If I had to lean away, I'm going to lean with Danny, but I am kind of gray area with it because I feel like it's situational. You know what I mean? It's good. Just like anything else, it's the perfect place and time for anything. But in this particular situation, I'm going to lean towards Danny because he is sort of still around fans that may have traveled 2 or 3 hours and they're still pissed, you know, or still mad, excuse me. So I'm going to lean Danny, but gray area because I do agree with you, Grant, a little bit. It's a time and place for everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good call. The whole, like, well, it's the parking lot. Okay, so the end of the parking lot's fine, but then across the street isn't. Like, for me, I make it really simple. There's no grayness here. And I work in the gray and nuance. I get it.
You're Josiah.
But it's so simple. Are you at the game still? Is the game being played? Is the performer performing? Is the performer in the uniform, right? Otherwise, I'm off duty now. Leave me alone. I'm pretty upset, too. I had a terrible game. It'd be funny if he came out and said, sorry, guys, we'll do better next time. I'm sorry. Maybe he should have done that. Maybe it'd be a better way to handle it and defuse it. But it's so simple for me. Scream when he's wearing that goofy helmet and that goofy jersey. And by this guy, twice.
I don't know what was going on there.
Hasn't known what's going on here. Unbelievable.
That was something.
Let's go to Duncan in Gainesville.
Hello, here we go, Duncan.
Duncan, how are you?
Regular phone call.
Hi, you guys. Thanks for taking my call. The first thing I was thinking of was like a famous quote from sports history. It's baseball, and it was kind of a tragedy going on. And you got a kid, apparently, if it's history's right, talking about disappointment in their hero. But like, say it ain't show Joe to Shoeless Joe Jackson. Like, where did that happen? But that's different from just like heckling. And I think a lot of it is on the person who's heckling. Like kind of don't be a schmuck. I think is a good watchword. That's what I was thinking.
That's a good way to live your life.
Smell what you're cooking. Yeah, it's a good rule of thumb, right? Golden rule, I think, updated slightly for our time.
Darius, I want to know where you're at. Ryan, I want to know where you're at as well. Again, you can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. If you're just jumping in your car, leaving the office, the question for you guys here on G&D is, does Daniel Jones leaving the stadium in the parking lot getting heckled rub you the wrong way, yes or no, and listening to the fan.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.